Am I on? Oh. Good. Morning, everyone. I'm very nervous. One minute, sorry. Thank you, Jess. Okay. So as I was praying and asking the Lord what he would have me speak today, he brought this to me, A Life by the Spirit. And then throughout the week, through conversations and different people, he's confirmed that to me. So I will be reading from the book of Galatians 5, verse 16 onwards to chapter 6, verse 9. Life by the Spirit. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burden, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each of us should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Amen. I hope that wasn't too long, but I will sort of talk on that. So there's no doubt most of us have heard of the expression spirit-filled. So what is spirit-filled, being spirit-filled? It is to have the fullness of the Holy Spirit in us. But what is it to live a life that is spirit-led, a life that is spirit-filled? To me, I believe it is a life that is empowered by the Holy Spirit to overflow with the nature and life of Jesus Christ. So oftentimes when we bring this term of spirit-filled, I've heard that with either people who have been baptized with the Spirit or people who don't really believe in the gifts. As soon as we mention this term, sometimes it comes to mind, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But that's not what I'm talking about today. I love the gifts, they are wonderful, I love them, but I'm not talking about this today. I'm talking about a life that is surrendered and yielded to the Holy Spirit. A life that is transformed from glory to glory in the likeness of Jesus Christ. So, not so long ago we sang about being found in the river. So I do believe our lives are lives that have to be found in the river, constantly be washed and shaped by the currents of the waters. If we take a big rock and we put it in the river, over time, it changes. It turns into a stone. It takes a different shape and it becomes smooth. But the smoothness of the stone will depend on how long it's been in the river and what was the pressure and the force in contact with the river. So it is with us. Jess shared about Jesus laying down his life for us. But I believe as he laid down his life for us, as he went to the cross, he also made an opening way for us to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot live a godly life. We cannot live a life that's going to please God. And we cannot even step in the plans and purposes of his calling. So I'm going to take Ephesians 5, verse 18, where the Apostle Paul says, "Don't be drunk with wine, but instead be filled with the Holy Spirit." I must say this with a sincere heart before I go any further. I am not here to devalue anyone or make anyone feel uncomfortable. I've taken that from my own experience of my past. So when wine and the Spirit are very much in contrast, but they share similarities. So what happens usually to a person who's under the influence of alcohol or addicted to it, you lose your sense of really acting upon your own will. Okay, I've done that many times. My head told me, put your left foot in front of your right foot, you will walk fine. Doesn't happen when you are drunk. And that person also carries a smell of alcohol on them. Okay, that person goes back drinking. The more you have a drink, you get drunk, you want more. But sadly, the fruits of that are very destructive and damaging. Everybody okay with that? Yeah, good. But Paul is saying that we need to live a life that is filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, our lives become influenced by him. He's the one who will change us, who will transform us to the likeness of Jesus Christ. And when we are filled with him, we also lose our own will to act upon our own fleshly desires, our ways of being jealous or hot-tempered or envying or, I don't know, our fleshly ways. So what are the fleshly ways? They are anything that doesn't reflect God or are against God's knowledge. But we also carry the fragrance of the Holy Spirit with us. Corinthians said that we carry the aroma of Christ. And I believe, you know, I have been around Christians many times that when you are around them, they don't need to tell you, oh, look, I am filled of the Holy Spirit. Look at me. You just feel it. You know, by their way of speaking, by their way of behaving, you just know that they are full of the presence of God. So basically what Paul is saying here is that anything that fills you will affect you. Everybody okay? Yes. Good. So Jesus says in John 15, verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruits. Apart from me, you can do nothing. God's intended plan for our life is that we abide in the vine. We cannot bear any fruit without abiding. What are the fruits that he's talking about here, Jesus? What are their purpose? So to me, the fruits are the outflowing of the renewal that has happened in us when we surrender our lives to Jesus. And they are there to display his presence in us and who we are in him. They also bear witness to his power in us and through us. John 15, verse 8, Jesus says, "This is to the glory of my Father, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples." God the Father has a plan for us. He wants us to live a holy life, a godly life. We can do all the right thing, come to church, you know, go to every prayer meeting, compare each other, what meeting you've been, what meeting I've been. But if your heart is not right with him, if you're not living in the power of the Holy Spirit, nothing is going to change in your life. So, Paul in verse 16 of Galatians 5, he says, "Live by the Spirit, then you will not gratify the desires of your sinful nature." You know, the sinful nature is a really bad one. The sinful nature wants everything that is about himself. It's all about me, about me, about me. But the Spirit in us wants only to glorify God. The only focus that the Holy Spirit has is to glorify the name of Jesus through our lives. He cares about us, obviously, but God gave us the Holy Spirit for us to live a life that will glorify Jesus, a life that is transformed, a life that is bearing fruits. And what are the fruits of the Spirit? Love, peace, joy, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such thing, there's no law. So you can do those as much as you want. When you are filled in the Spirit, you won't have to struggle for it to happen. It happens easily. Okay? So he goes on to say the Spirit and the flesh, the sinful nature, they are in contrary to each other. They are in a battle with each other, conflict. So I will explain why. My little demonstration table. So, the minute we are born, we are like this empty cup, empty glass. Everyone can see that, yes? So up until the time we come to know Jesus, everything that we live, we breathe, from our background, from people in our lives, everything gets filled into that. We become like this, filled with all that stuff, okay? And it says in the Bible that the pattern of this world is very contrary to God. Everything that is of this world opposes God's way of thinking, God's way of doing, God's heart. But yet when we are born again, we get filled with all this. We become just like that. We gather. So when the Spirit of God comes in us, when we are born again, we are spirit, soul, body. Which part of us gets saved? Which part of us gets perfected? It is the Spirit. Okay? That part of us, the soul, the body, is still sinful. Because it will only be glorified, it will only be perfected when we are with Jesus, or Jesus comes back. But this part, our spirit, is perfected in Christ. That's why we are told that we are hidden in Christ. So in order for us to live a life that really can glorify God, we have got to be able to yield to the Holy Spirit. Okay? Yield to the Holy Spirit. I'll share this example just to help you understand what I mean. When I was born again, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I understood who Jesus was for me, but I did not know how to really yield myself to the power in me. And not so long after being born again, we were faced with a big trial in our lives. My instinct, all that was within me, wanted to go back to drinking and smoking. That was my comfort. So I had made up my mind that day that I was going to go and drop the children to school and come back, and I will go to the co-op. I will buy my cigarettes. I will buy the bottle of vodka and go home, and I will do it in the garden so that Sanjeev will have no idea of it. I was determined to do that. But the Spirit kept telling me, that is not, you are free. You do not have to do that. But do you know what? My flesh was just like, no, it's okay, just stay out of it. I'll do it, and then I'll be okay. But I kept praying, no matter what. I kept praying. And I went to the co-op, got at the front, and the queue kept advancing. And when I got at the front, I really had to make a decision that day. I had to make a decision and realize that I was free. I did not have to behave the way that my flesh wanted to behave. I was free from that. And I took a step, and I looked at the lady, and I said, I don't think I need anything after all. So I walked out. I walked out of the co-op. Amen. Yeah. Got home, praying. Doesn't mean it went away, no. My thoughts started gathering. Let's try again. But no, I got home, and I prayed. But I learned that day that yielding to the Holy Spirit, it is His power in you that stops you from doing the things that you have been used to do. You know, hot-tempered, being envy of each other, being jealous of each other. I have seen Christian people even arguing with each other like there's no tomorrow. These are the things that happens in church. But Paul is saying here, live by the Spirit, because when you are full of the Spirit, He will help you to deal with situations, to conduct yourself that is Christ-like. So a few months later, it happened again. Something else happened in my life, and I thought, I need to do it this time. I need that comfort. But I just prayed, and I prayed, and I said, Holy Spirit, I cannot do it. It is You that can help me walk that walk. And I passed by the co-op, my eyes kept looking, thinking I'll drop the children, I'll come back. I passed by the co-op and went home. Third time it happened again. But you know what? After that third time, it never happened to me. I can even have a drink now without having to think that when I have a problem, I need to go to a drink. You see, the more, this is called crucifying the flesh. The more you spend time with the Holy Spirit, the more you dwell in him, the more you allow him to work in these places that you are weak, he comes. He comes and he strengthens you. But he will not force you. He will not force you to walk his way. He will not force you to do things. It is for you to make that decision, to know and realize who you are in Christ. I think I went everywhere now, but anyways. So in order for that to happen also, our minds have to be renewed. Our minds have to be renewed. Romans 12, verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what is God's will, his good and pleasing and perfect will." You see, with the Holy Spirit, he's like, God has provided all that we need in this life. I don't want to compare the Holy Spirit to an object, but that's the picture that I had when I was reading it. He's like a compass. He guides you. But he can only guide you if you are willing. He can only guide you if you are willing to do and walk with him. It doesn't have to be a struggle. I know that for my own life, it doesn't have to be a struggle. The Holy Spirit is here to help us, to empower us, to help us to really move on in our Christian lives, you know. And we have to make a decision to really learn how to walk with him, how to discover him. He was the greatest friend that I truly discovered. We have Jesus, we have the Father. Obviously, I love Jesus, I love the Father. But I've learned to discover the Holy Spirit. He's the most precious friend that I have learned to have. I walk with him, I talk with him. And when I don't know things, he helps me. You know, I don't have to know everything that others know. I just have to do my walk and lean on him to help me, to guide me. You know, Corinthians 3, verse 17 says, "Where the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit is, there is freedom." So you have a freedom to choose to walk in the ways of the Lord. You're not slave anymore to sin. You're not slave to all these acts that Paul has mentioned here. And if you notice here, he says, and the like. He could have gone on a very long list here of all our sinful nature, but he said, and the like. So we don't have to live like this. We have to abide. I'm not saying it's an overnight process, but if you are willing to walk with him and be found in that river, being washed by the currents of its waters, being shaped by him, it will happen. The transformation occurs. So how do we do that? You know, I'm going to share a few directions, a few tips if you want. It's not a formula. It's not a set of rules. It's just probably things that could encourage us to really walk that way and really yield to the Holy Spirit, okay? First of all, we have to understand that it is a life investment, okay? Paul says in verse 7 to verses 9 in chapter 6, he says, "A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life." So it is a sowing. You have to constantly, you are going to choose to either sow here or sow there. But if you are sowing here, I promise you it is eternal and it is good. And it affects everybody who is around you. It affects your work, your relationships, school. It affects everything. So God says, secondly, God says he's given us his Holy Spirit. He did not say, walk this life and, you know, wait on a bus stop and wait for Jesus to come back and then I'll take you to glory. He didn't say that. And sometimes we can be like this as Christians. We sit on the bus stop, Jesus is going to come back and I'm ready for him. But yet, nothing. Life is not being transformed. We're just sitting and waiting for Jesus to come. But nothing else is changing with us. But God says in 2 Peter 1, verse 3 to 4, he says, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who calls us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in his divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. He's given us all the help we need to do that. So it is for us. The invitation is there. It is for us to just take hold of it and grab it and run with it, you know. And then we have to understand that, you know, when we say be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, we won't know how to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit unless we have fellowship with him. We won't know how to be led by him unless we truly discover him and know how to fellowship with him. It's a bit like a marriage. You know, the more time you spend with each other, you get to know each other's faults. Sometimes before Sanjeev says something, I know what you're going to say. It's because you spend time with each other. You grow with each other. You know the liking, the dislikes of each other's. Okay? So it's important. The Holy Spirit is not like this third person of the Trinity where we think he's less important. They are one. Okay? Remember, who does the walking? It is us. He does the leading, we do the walking. We can't expect the Holy Spirit to do the walking for us. He does the leading, he does the guidance, he gives the instructions, but we do the walking. And as we do that, I can guarantee you, he brings strengthening in areas that we are weak. He brings life in areas that need healing and deliverance. I'm not necessarily talking about physical healing. I'm talking about emotional healing. You know, sometimes we can be very, very captive in our own thoughts, in our own emotions. And we need the Holy Spirit to bring those healing, to bring that release, to empower us to be strengthened in those areas. Okay? Fourthly, we have to be a people who read and establish ourselves in the Word of God. That is vital. And as we do that, the Holy Spirit will take the Word of God and forge your way of thinking, doing, feeling with it. Jesus says in John 6:63, he says, "The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life." They are life. The word of God is life. But you will not experience it to be life if you are not living in the spirit. Okay? Is that okay with everybody? Yes. Yeah? Okay. Okay, so have fellowship with other believers who are led by the spirit. That has a terrible, you know, I have walked in those ways sometimes. If you have fellowship with people who are not led by the Holy Spirit, you become like a fire who gets extinguished by time. Okay, you don't realize it, but it does, you know. And I'm not here to criticize anybody, but that's the truth. You know, you stir one another when you're in the spirit. You stir one another, and it's important. And lastly, examine your heart and life. If there's anything that would hinder the work of the Holy Spirit in you, then now is time for you to invite him to take control, to take those weaknesses and turn them into strength. But you have to invite him to do that. You have to abandon yourself to him. And that could be anything from the way of you've been used to think negatively all the time, or it could be things from that are not in agreement with God, really. You know, it could be fear, it could be jealousy, it could be comparison, addiction, lust. It could be anything that is not of God. Or even, so you might be someone that probably has found comfort in all that the world has to offer. You know, whether jobs, whether finance, whether family, all this have provided more security for you than actually God himself. So we have to be able to come to that place and ask the Holy Spirit to help us to see God, to really live in God, to be in the river. So I'll show you what happens. Assistant, come on. So I'll show you, just to give a visual, perhaps it will help. So what happens, the more you are in the spirit, Jesus says, those who are thirsty come to him, isn't it? Rivers of living water will stream out of your belly. But you have to be placed under that, okay? You can't just expect the waterfall to fall on you if you don't go under the waterfall. But the more you go and you drink of the Holy Spirit, what happens? Look at that. He sanctifies you. All these things that you have gathered in your soul, He sanctifies you. He cleans you. I hope that will turn right white. It will. Look at that. Look at that. Thank you. So now what happens is that the soul becomes strong. When your sinful desires tries to like submerge and say, oh, well, do this, what happens to the soul? It is strong. It is strong in the spirit, and it is able to resist and say, no, that is not the way of God. And what happens is your thinking becomes more like God. Your way of seeing things in life become more like God. Sorry. And this is how we have to be transformed. This is the renewal of the soul. It is the soul that has to be renewed. Where is our mind? Our mind is here, in the soul. Our emotions, in the soul. The spirit is perfected in Christ, but that part of us has to be renewed daily, daily. When Paul says about those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature and its passions and desires, it is not just Jesus died, it's done, it's finished. But as we live, it has to be a daily crucifixion of the flesh. You know, we have to follow the Holy Spirit. But as our soul becomes stronger, as we seek to read his word, live in him, be found in the river, that's what happens. We become stronger and stronger to think like God, to feel like God, to move like God. And then we are witnesses. We are powerful witnesses, strong witnesses for him. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, good. So I'm not sharing that with you today as if I'm like this all saint and perfect person standing here. I have my own struggle, but I can guarantee you, if I was to look at myself now, I know I am in the river. I'm not on the bank side. You know, I'm not on the bank of the river. I am in the river. So that's something that we all have to ask ourselves. Where are we? Are we in the river being shaped, being made good, smooth, all the rough edges being gone, or are we at the bank of the river? Amen.
Just 6 years. I read this morning in the last verse of James chapter 1 says this: this is pure religion, that you keep yourself from being polluted by the world. You know what? I think if that illustration was incredible, very good. I think the reality is there are two jugs. There's a jug of dirty water and clean water. And you choose which one you stand under all the time. And it's not about forgiveness. Our sin is forgiven. But what flows in flows out. Don't you want to stand under the clean river? So that people, unknown to you perhaps, feel the Holy Spirit and not the pollution. Amen. What we invest our hearts into changes tomorrow. That's why it says don't be deceived. Shall we stand? As Sandrine was finishing there, Mel, you're going to have to pull this one out for us. As she finished, a song came to mind that we used to sing a lot a little while ago. Let your living water flow over my soul. Let your Holy Spirit come and take control. In every situation, I'm trying to remember the words that's troubling my soul, whatever, we'll manage. It's not about the words, it's about presenting ourselves to the Lord. Thank you, Mel. Spirit, would you take your place, your rightful place, your central place in our hearts? And in this service right now, we wait before you. We just wait before you for whatever you want to do today. Would you please move among us? Some of you this week may have faced the battle of passing the co-op and seen your own vodka and cigarettes. And we've all known what it is to succumb and spoil. I believe the Holy Spirit would say to you that His blood cleanses us from all sin. But He wants to do more than that. He wants to fill you with His Holy Spirit. You need to call out on Him to do that. Identify it. Repent. Step up. Step forward. Step. And ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. Continue to wait for a moment. Time. Holy Spirit, you're so, so welcome in this place. Spirit as we stand before you now. We know that you were instrumental in creating the universe. You are profound and gifted beyond anything that we could imagine. Would you create in us what we can't see in ourselves? Your creative qualities exceed any imagination that we have of what you could do. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, to create in us something that is complex and beautiful and glorious. We submit to a process. We submit to Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, to not let us have a day off of your creative power in our lives. But that which you began in our spirit, may it go right through to the tips of our fingers and the bottom of our feet, that we would be fearfully and wonderfully created and changed by you. Give us an understanding of your power to take clay and create something beautiful. And help us not to resist you when your tools are so infinitely more delicate and greater and complex than we can conceive. You know what is best for us. And so, Holy Spirit, thank you for your word to us today. We receive it in our hearts with joy. And we say, work in us that you want to work. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, may the Lord bless each and every one of you visiting with us today. Please make yourself known to us. If we can help anybody, we'd be delighted to do so, to pray with you, minister to you. Tea or coffee is going to be served in a few moments. Thank you for being a part of this day.